Our series this year of what we're going to be studying and looking into is called The Shaping of a Christian Woman. And our theme verse is from Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. And in the Bible, we see that analogy of the potter and the clay. And Isaiah speaks of it, Jeremiah speaks of it, and the Apostle Paul speaks of it. If you would just turn to Jeremiah 18 with me. We're going to look at that first. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, years and years and years ago, for our third ladies' retreat, we had as the theme, you are the potter and we are the clay. And so we decided to go down to the potter's house to learn, to observe, and to see what the Lord might speak to us there. And it was very, very interesting watching this man sit at his potter's wheel, and we just asked him just to kind of tell us what he was doing and what it was, what the process and all of that. He did not know the Lord, and he probably thought we were weird, telling him that we're having a ladies' retreat and this is what we want to do and all that. We could not believe the things that he was saying. It was so amazing how that picture of the potter and the clay and the wheel and how it is with our God. He was speaking these incredible words that we were just, you know, frantically taking notes. Louise, if you want to put that picture up now. So the potter, what we learned from the potter and what you can learn from an earthly man or woman, whoever this potter might be, but this potter is master and creator over the clay. He is the one who has absolute power over the clay. And he is the one that has a thought in his mind for that clay. And he is the only one who knows that thought. And so as he sits and he puts that clay on the wheel, he has a thought for it. And he doesn't just sit and just kind of aimlessly start working or looking out the window or taking a break and skimming through a magazine. He is intently focused on that lump of clay. And the wheel starts spinning and his hands are on that clay, and we cannot see this thought in his mind, this intent that he has for this lump of clay, but he knows, and we're sitting watching, and it begins to spin and take shape, and we say, ah, I know, it's going to be a bowl. And it looks like a bowl. And then he just moves his hands out. Oh, okay. Nope. It's not a bowl. Okay. It's a cup. And it just continues to change form. And you might think, is he changing his mind in the process? Or is this just part of the process, these changes that are taking place before our eyes? And then you have the clay. Now, the clay, what is clay? Clay is dust. It's earthen substance. It's a little bit of rock and minerals all mixed together. And clay is a material that is capable of being shaped and also capable of holding its shape through a process. The clay is something that the potter uses to accomplish his purpose. He has the clay, he has the intent, he has the thought, he starts shaping, and that clay is there as capable material, something to be used in the potter's hand. And without the potter, what is the clay? It's absolutely nothing. It is a lump of clay. Now, the potter also has a wheel. And that wheel is an instrument that he uses to fashion the clay. He takes the clay and he puts it right directly in the center of the wheel. He knows what he's doing. He knows where it's supposed to go. And it's right in the middle. And then he begins to rotate that wheel faster and faster and faster and faster. And then as that wheel spins, then the potter's hands are on that clay and it begins to take shape as he's forming it and as he's fashioning it. Now, all along, the potter is in control of the wheel and he is in control of that clay. And you know the analogy, you know the picture that we're talking about. God is our potter. He is the master potter. We are the clay. And then that wheel is the instrument used, or all of the circumstances used in which to fashion our lives. You can take the picture down now, Louise. So God, our master potter. He is the creator. He is the master. He is omnipotent, which is all powerful. Just like that earthly potter has power over that clay, our God has power over all, over everything. And our master potter is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Now, that earthly potter, he is all-knowing over the clay. He has that thought, that intent. He knows what he's going to do with the clay. But he's very limited in his all-knowingness because he just knows the clay. Our God, our master potter, he is all-knowing, knowing everything. Everything about every lump of clay, about everything in his creation. He knows everything. And he has a plan and a purpose for each one. And our master potter, our God, he is a God of love. These earthly potters, they can be nice people or they can be evil people. And they can make something beautiful or they can make something not so beautiful and that would be used for evil purposes. But our God is a God of love. So everything that he does is out of love. So all his plans and his purposes and the way that he shapes and he fashions is all out of love. Now, he has absolute power over the clay. Again, he has power over all, over everything. And he most certainly has it over the clay. But there is a difference between this earthly potter and clay and our God and the clay. And the distance between God and man is far greater than the distance between that potter and that clay. And that is because earthly clay does not have a will. It is just a lump of clay. And we, as the clay, God has given us a will, a choice. Now that earthly lump of clay can do nothing but sit there and have the potter do whatever it wants. It cannot object. We have the power to choose and the will to choose. Now he has a plan for us. We are not an accident. We didn't end up the way that we are by accident, whether it's this physical body that we have or what's being developed in our lives. It's not an accident. He is working in our lives. And just as that potter, when we watched him, or if you've ever watched a pottery demonstration, or perhaps you do pottery, you know that focus has to be on the clay, because if you take your eyes off of it, your hand can slip and then you can have a defect in your whatever you're making. Our God is, he sits attentively toward each one of us. He is interested in each one of us. His focus is on each one of us. And because he's such a big God, and because he is God, he can be focused on each one in this entire world all at the same time. He doesn't get distracted. Wouldn't that be nice to not get distracted? The older I get, the more distracted I get. His focus is on us. His eye is on us. And he has a thought and an intent for us that he alone can transfer to us. Now, we cannot see that thought or that intent. I mean, we know broadly what he wants to do, but we do not know all the details of what he wants to do. I don't know what he wants to do in your life. I don't really know what he wants to do in my life. I thought it was a cup, and then I turned into a vase. And then, you know, there's just this change all the time. I don't know what he wants, but he knows. Though we can't see, he sees. He knows. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And his hands, his fingers, they fashion us. They are purposeful. They are gentle. They are loving. And they are firm on us. Now we, the clay, we are made from the dust. Our physical bodies are made from the dust. We are just earthen material. And we are something with which it's possible for God to accomplish his good purposes. We are the material that will take the impression of his fingerprints upon our lives. Now, you know, as we said, clay is absolutely shapeless and nothing by itself. We've all seen a lump of clay, and it looks like a lump of clay. There is no beauty. There is no purpose for that lump of clay. And you know, our lives without the Lord, there is no beauty. There is no purpose in our lives. We might as well just be a big lump of clay. But when we are clay in the potter's hand, then there's beauty. Then we are useful. Then we're effective. Then we are with purpose, and he can use us. Someone said that we, without the Lord, as that clay is, we make shipwreck of our own personality. And we probably once did that, or maybe have done it a few times. Or when we go our own way, where we just make shipwreck out of our lives, out of our own personalities. But clay in the hands of the potter becomes a thing of beauty and of use, and our lives will become beautiful. They will become useful. They will become effective for His good purposes. Now, since the potter has absolute right over the clay, then the clay has no right to suggest to him or to demand from him what form or fashion it will take. Now, Isaiah talked about this in Isaiah 45. He said, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or shall your handiwork say, 'He has no hands?'" And the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, he said, "Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?" You just picture that big lump of clay on that potter's wheel rising up and saying, "Hey, I don't like that. Don't do that. That hurts. Quit spinning it so fast. Why do you have to put me right in the middle of this? Can't I just have a break for a while? I wanted to be a vase. Look at that. She's a pretty vase. Now I'm a big pitcher. I don't want to be a big..." I mean, can you imagine that? What would that human earthly potter do? You know, you just squish it down, starting over. "I don't need this." Or you just get another hunk of clay. What right do we have before the Lord, who is all powerful and almighty, all knowing? Do you ever hear a voice coming from you saying, "Hey, why am I right in the middle of this? I don't want to be in the middle of this. I don't like this shape. I don't like that." It's the same thing as a clay saying that to that earthly potter. Clay doesn't have a will, but we do. And the will has power to choose to resist and to fight the potter and his work, or to simply be pliable and allow him to do whatever he wants. When we resist, when we fight, when we argue, when we demand, it's to our own destruction. We think that that's what's going to be best. We think that's what's going to make us happy. But it is to our own destruction. G. Campbell Morgan said, Our wills are ours to make them thine, to make them the Lord's. Any other exercise of the will is prostitution of the power bestowed and must issue in the ruin of the one who makes such use of it. Our wills are ours to make them thine. Any other exercise of the will is prostitution of the power bestowed and must issue in the ruin of the one who makes such use of it. It's to our own destruction when we fight, when we resist, when we hinder the process. Knowing that our Master Potter is love, and that he only wants what is good and what is best in our lives, and what he does, and whatever we are in the middle of, or however fast that wheel seems to spin, if we know that he is love, then we can simply rest and be clay in his hands. And though we may not fully understand his plan or the way in which he shapes us, we can quietly submit to his ever-loving hands. I don't know about you, but very rarely do I understand what he's doing or why he's doing what he's doing. The clay is shapeless, lacking beauty. It's useless until it's in the hands of the potter. And we are absolutely nothing, nothing until we allow the master potter to shape us and to make us into a beautiful vessel. Now, this wheel that he places us on, that instrument that's used to fashion the clay. And again, that potter puts the clay right in the center of the wheel, right in the middle, right where we don't want to be a lot of times, right in the middle of it. And he spins the wheel at his desired speed. Nobody else is spinning the wheel. Sometimes it looks like other people are spinning the wheel. But he is in control. He is always in control of that wheel. And he is in control of the clay. Now that wheel, it represents all the circumstances that are used to fashion us. And oh, there are so, so many. And this year, as we begin this series, we will each week look at another way that he uses in our lives to shape us. And so many of them are so difficult. They're not easy. They're hard. They're painful. We want to get out as quickly as possible. But knowing our Heavenly Father and knowing his love, he has us right where we need to be. Because he has a plan. He has a purpose. He's going to use those things in our lives to shape us. So we'll learn week after week how we can not fear those things. How we can actually look forward to those things that come into our lives that are hard, that may be sharp, that may be hot, that may be irritating, all of those things, and learn how to look at them through his eyes and to trust him that he's doing what is right and what is best in our lives. Can any of us honestly look back upon our lives at trials, at hard things that came into our lives and say, I wish I would not have gone through that because Let me rephrase that. Can we look back and look at those trials and look at those hard things and look at those difficult things and then say, I am so glad I went through that because had I not, I would not be the person I am today. I would not have the character built in my life. I would be such a shallow person. I would be such a fearful person. I would be a useless person. But because of those things that he used to shape me, that I was right in the center of, I can see what he has done. I mean, we can all look back on those things as hard. We would rather have not have gone through it. I'd like it to be done a different way, please. Could we just, you know, do that and have my character built and be a very spiritual person? It doesn't work that way. But all of those things that we will be learning this year, hopefully we'll learn not to fear them, that we will learn to see them as necessary tools. Necessary to shape our lives. G. Campbell Morgan also said, the wheel is incidental, necessary but transitory, to be flung aside when the potter remains and the clay has found its final form and shape. The things of supreme moment are the potter and the clay. I liked that. The wheel is incidental. It's necessary but transitory. It's going to be flung aside. Whatever he chooses to use, another person, a trial, I mean, whatever it might be in our lives, that's just the tool. And as soon as that, whatever he wanted to do in our lives, that shape takes forth, it's gone. In a moment, it can be gone. And we've all experienced that with trials. This horrible thing, this painful thing, and boom, gone. Something happened, somebody made a decision, I mean something, and it's gone. And now we've had that character built in. The things of supreme moment are the potter and the clay. It's all about relationship with the Lord. That's why he does what he does in our lives, for relationship, to draw us closer to him. If we were on mountaintop after mountaintop, I don't know what you would look like. Well, I do know what you would look like. You would look the same way I did, and we wouldn't look very pretty. We would be having lots of fun up there, just, you know, free-floating on the mountaintops. But it's in the valleys. It's in the hard times where that character is built and that shaping takes place. And we run to our God. It's all about relationship, and it's about him conforming us into the image of his son, Jesus. That's his desire, is to make us more like Jesus. And that is where we find true beauty, true purpose, true satisfaction, and true fulfillment, and true peace in our lives. Someone said that the clay gains in the potter, and the potter gains in the clay. The clay gains in the potter, we sure do, because we are nothing without him, and we are everything with him. But the potter gains in the clay so that we can be vessels, a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And he has a good work for us. So as we begin next week, our first topic, let's allow the Lord to begin that shaping, that molding, that whatever he needs to do in our lives so that we can become more like him. I think I say this every year, but here we are in September and we end in May. In May, we ought to be able to look back to this day and go, oh, wow, I have come so far. I have grown so much. We don't want to look back and say, oh, I didn't grow. No, he's constantly working. We need to allow him to work so that he can continue to fashion and form us and shape us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful picture in your word that you are the potter, master, ruler, creator. And thank you, Lord, that we are the clay. We are but dust. But in your hands, oh Lord, we become a thing of beauty and a work of art and useful and fit for your use. And Lord, that wheel, all of those things that you have used in our life or you will use in our lives, Lord, give us the strength, give us the grace to learn, to grow, to allow you to do whatever you want in our lives. Lord, change our hearts, melt us, mold us, make us like you. We pray, Father, that this would just be the beginning of a great work that you do in each individual lives, and then all of us as sisters in you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we